Hey, I am Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, how are you today? Doing well? Yeah. Good thumbs up engineering our show. On the other side of the glass, Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show Friday, April 24th, 2015. It was nice to get a 10-minute rain shower about 10 o'clock today up in the foothills. Settled the dust a little bit, so kind of unusual. It is unusual for this time of year to get a little rain, but we'll certainly welcome it anytime. Big shout out to all of our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, Mike Varney is here. Mr. Varney is the president and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, joining me to question. Mr. Varney is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. You can join in the conversation at any time, 790-2040. If there's something that you hear Mr. Varney say that you agree with, call. If there's something that you hear him say you disagree with, this is it. Call in, be heard, make your voice heard. Facebook page, if you'd like to join us, we still have some openings. Bill Buckmaster is the place to find us on Facebook. Ladies first. Sarah, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Are you wondering, Sarah, what our 60s bump music will be today?
I am. I actually was wondering about that. I'm thinking maybe, I'm not going to guess. Man from Man, maybe?
No, Jay and the Americans.
Jay and the Americans.
Yeah, only in America. I'm sure Tom's got that as one of the bump pieces, but we'll be hearing it. Mr. Varney, Mike, how are you?
I am very well, Bill, and happy Friday to you, and looking forward to our visit today.
Should the chamber be endorsing? And I know the chamber, the bond election was announced this week. I assume you're on board. Chamber's on board. There are some people who are never going to forgive the chamber for your endorsement of Adelita Grijalva. Should the chamber be endorsing, and do chambers endorse around the country?
Sure. I'm happy to talk about that, Bill. The answer to your last question is yes, chambers around the country routinely endorse political candidates. And frankly, a study just came out from a Chamber of Commerce association that tracked that, and the number of chambers that are endorsing political candidates and taking positions on issues is actually growing.
Really?
It's if you're going to be the voice of business, Bill, you can't do it with a muted voice. That said, imagine we endorsed in 19 races or issues in the last election. We've got a metropolitan area here of roughly a million people. Can you imagine any organization, the chamber or anybody else, coming out with 19 positions or endorsements that makes a million people completely happy?
No.
Well, that's absolutely not going to happen. So let's look at the ways that we can approach our involvement with government affairs. We can do what a lot of organizations do, and I don't blame anybody for taking this position. But if you don't endorse, in our view, you're kind of on the sidelines. The game is played on the field. If you get on the field once in a while, you get a bump or a bruise, or somebody takes a shot at you. You've got to stop a shot or something, and that's where the game is played, is on the field. The game isn't played on the sidelines. Anybody who's familiar with politics and advocacy, not just here in Tucson and Pima County, but across the country, knows that labor unions are actively engaged on the field, environmental groups, all kinds of special interest groups are actively involved on the playing field of politics. Our view is that business needs to have as big a voice as possible on that playing field, and that's why we endorse.
So you really wouldn't be relevant, you feel, if you didn't
endorse. Certainly wouldn't be as relevant. Yeah. There are other things that organizations like ours can do. We can publish voting report cards, which we do.
Right.
We can publish candidates' positions on certain issues, which we do. Mm-hmm. But when it comes time to really getting on the field and getting into the game, endorsing is the last step.
Let's bring Sarah into the conversation.
I wanted to ask about your reaction and if the chamber has a reaction to the report that the city commissioned about ways to think about Davis-Monthan Air Force Base now that the A-10s look like, even if they're left to live their natural life and not prematurely retired, they're phasing out within the next decade or so. And I wanted to know what your thoughts were about the suggestion that instead of relying solely on one air mission or focusing on an air mission, a flying mission, that Tucson advocate to the Air Force that we suggest changing it over to a central operations base, something more command, not so dependent on one type of aircraft.
My understanding of the central operations command concept is that it's a very, very old concept. If you look at all that we have here in southern Arizona, the weather that we have here, the number of flying days, the Goldwater Range being almost right here in our backyard, the airspace that we have here that's unencumbered by other forms of air traffic, all of those things just are ideally situated to host a flying mission. I think you're right, and I think any reasonable person would say that when you're faced with change, you want to explore all of your opportunities and all of your options. So I think that as somebody who sits on the board of the Southern Arizona Defense Alliance, I think that, you know, we certainly have had discussions about the what-if possibilities or the contingencies. But our view is, and we've got a number of very experienced military officers who serve on that group, that their belief is that we are ideally situated for a flying mission and that we want to do everything we can to preserve a flying mission here. If it's the A-10, great. If it's some other flying mission, that's great too. But we have too much to offer not to do a flying mission here in southern Arizona.
And the studies doesn't say don't have a flying mission. Right. It just says don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yep.
Is there discussion about that approach with the Southern Arizona Defense Alliance?
Oh, sure.
In the chamber?
Yeah, we've talked at length at SATA about what the options would be under certain contingencies or scenarios if the A-10 is indeed retired. And it's our view, and I think it's shared widely by many, that the retirement of the A-10 is not a strategic decision. It's a budget decision, which is a lousy way to defend our country based on dollars instead of mission. But the facts are that sequestration and other budget cuts are forcing the military to make some very, very hard decisions. So, yeah, we're keeping our options open.
And I wanted to ask one quick question about what your response is to the city going out and doing this on its own, and then also partnering with SATA and the county on another thing.
Well, the city, certainly has every right in the world to hire its own consultants and do its own research work and accept or not accept the findings of that research work. So the city is certainly well within its purview to do that. We at SATA, of which the chamber obviously supports very heavily, we are doing our own work in that regard, and we tap the skills of people who have been there, done that, and who understand our nation's defense, understand Air Force operations, and their opinions weigh very, very heavily in the overall conclusions that are drawn by the SATA group as a whole.
Okay, we've got about 2.5 minutes before our first break. Let's see if we can get in Roberta and then Matthew. Let's take these questions before the break, if possible. Go ahead, Roberta.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm a native Tucsonan and moved to Austin a year ago, but I still own a home here in Tucson, so I stay connected with what's going on. I'm really sort of flabbergasted at what you said about that the chamber has to be in the game and by taking positions on politicians, especially in light of endorsing it is Aguilita Grijalva and the bad state of disarray that the Tucson Unified School District is in. I belong to three chambers in the suburbs of Austin, and as you well know, Austin is a very booming community. All three of those chambers do not make endorsements of politicians. They brought in the politicians for them to be at the luncheons for them to speak and debate at the luncheons, but I'm sort of flabbergasted that the chamber would take a $5,000 donation or joining fee from TUSD and then turn around a month later and endorse Adelia de Garajova, and I'd like you to respond to that.
Okay. Sure. Thanks, Roberta.
I'm happy to do that. Roberta, you've got to be very careful where you get your information. The Tucson Unified School District has engaged as an investor in the Tucson Metro Chamber, just as the University of Arizona has, just as Sunnyside School District has, just as Pima Community College has, because there's a lot that we can do together to support education and workforce readiness. The two, their investment in the chamber has zero to do with the fact that a completely separate legal entity, the Southern Arizona Business Political Action Committee, or SASPAC, which regularly endorses candidates, which regularly takes positions on issues, is the one that interviewed the candidates. That's the body. It's not the chamber. That's the body that came up with the decisions on who to endorse and if we would endorse any given candidates. So the nexus between the two does not exist, and again, I would caution you, Roberta, where you get your information, because what you have is not true.
Okay, it's 12:15. We'll take Matthew, Tom, after the break, because I want to keep things on time this morning. Trains are running on time here on the Buckmaster Show today. Let's take our first break. Mike Varney sticks around, and so does Sarah Garrett-Gasson, the star, back right after this.
This magic moment, so different and so new, is like any other.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
I think, Tom, that is my favorite of the Jay and the American songs. Of course, it's 60s bump music day on Fridays here on the Buckmaster Show on the Friday Focus interview. Mike Varney, the head of the Metro Tucson Metro Chamber, he remembers a little bit of the 60s and some of the Jay and the American songs.
Don't I you, do.
Mike? Sarah Garrett Gasson, she is too young to remember the 60s, but she loves 60s music.
I do indeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Matthew's been waiting. Matthew, please make your comment or question very quick because we've only got about 10 minutes to go. Okay, Matthew, go ahead.
Yeah, first, Mike, he's right. I think he's right on in the chamber being engaged. I think that makes them more useful to Tucson. Two, I believe that the survey that the city did or the report is good, but I think Mike's right that we need to continue to focus on airframes, and I would encourage that he continues his activities to focus strategically. The Goldwater, Raytheon, also Davis Monthan and Fort Huachuca. Thinking about it from a strategic point of view, and especially, what I'm thinking of the place where the planes sit.
The Boneyard.
Boneyard.
Thank you. Lastly, Mike, recently the Phoenix Business Journal released a report that the Desert Angels, a very important group, ranked almost above third, I think, in the country. I hope you read that article. If you didn't, I'll send it to you. But the $25 million investment, they ranked nationally third in the country as an investment group. And I know that the chamber has people that works with Desert Angels. And I just want to just put out good news.
Okay,
Thank
thanks, Matthew. Desert Angels, an investment group, mm-hmm. Doing well.
Yep, it's a capital group for mm-hmm. entrepreneurs. And does an excellent job. Harry Bruce is one of the driving forces behind that group, mm-hmm. Bill. And any good community that's going to grow its own companies needs that kind of capital financing. And it's high risk, but it's also high payoff. And I think the people who are engaged in that, and I'm talking about the people who have the capital, really enjoy the game. Game probably isn't the right word, but the challenge of identifying that next Microsoft, the next Dell computers, the next company that's going to start with $5,000 or $50,000 of somebody else's money and grow it into an international corporation.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
The Pima County Board of Supervisors referred bond issues to the ballot. It's going to be a total of $815 million, but it's going to be broken up into different categories.
Yeah, seven.
Seven.
Is the chamber going to take a position, or the PAC going to take a position, and what is one that you think should not be on the ballot, given our budget shortfalls or our budget tightness as a community, and what is your the most expendable, do you think, on that?
Yeah,
list?
It's not a decision that the chamber will probably ever make to tell people what they should vote for and what they shouldn't vote for in terms of the seven items on the bond, Sarah. That just to be very, very crystal clear, that the chamber's board of directors met, because this is a policy issue. The chamber's board of directors met and looked at the bond very, very closely, and voted unanimously to recommend that the County Board of Supervisors send the bond to the voters for the voters to look at and to make those decisions that you just put forward to me. And so that, fortunately, is what happened. Anybody who attended the Tuesday Board of Supervisors meeting know that it was standing room only. I got there about the time the meeting started, and I spent the first hour out in the lobby watching it on a TV and finally was able to get inside. But the testimonies from cross-section of people here in the community, civic, nonprofit, business organizations, you name it, was heavily, heavily in favor of the bond going to the voters. And now what voters are going to have to do is look that over and decide which items they think merit bond financing. And so it's not up to us as an organization to tell people which item they should or shouldn't favor. We'll leave that up to the voters. We're very pleased, naturally, that there's money in there to repair our roads. It's something that we have been lobbying very, very hard on for quite some time, to make sure that our roads are brought up to speed. There's legitimate criticism that funding roads with borrowed money is maybe not the best way to go about it, but the state isn't going to do it. The likelihood of a gas tax going through is pretty small. So what other choices do we have? And this is the measure that the county decided to take, and we salute them for it.
So I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what you're saying. So earlier you were talking about how the chamber, through its PAC, Political Action Committee, endorsed, but you're not doing that on the bond
issues.
It's
a different policy matters. The bond, whether to send the bond to the voters or not, is not a Political Action Committee decision. It's a policy decision, and in our organization, like every other organization, it's the board that sets policy.
But you're not going to take a position on the different propositions.
The board has not decided that one has more merit than another, but I can maybe tip my hand a little bit by saying that we've worked very, very hard on making sure that we have decent roads to drive on here in the county.
So you will not be endorsing any of these?
That the board has not even taken that up, Bill, so it would be far too premature for me to say whether they will or they won't, and if they do, which ones they would center on.
What's the selling point going to be, though? I mean, certainly the obvious one is roads, and
sure,
if I had to make a prediction, that one I think will pass.
Sure.
Easily. I mean, people want things done on roads. We had Allie Miller on for a half an hour yesterday, and she was making her case about why folks should not vote for the bond, any of them. And she was saying that the road repairs would only last 2 to 3 years. And I brought up to her that Mr. Huckleberry, who has a background in, whether you like him or not, he has a background in highways and roads.
He's an engineer.
And he has said at the least 8 years you get out of it, and depending on the way it's done, 20 is possible.
Here's how I think anybody who's really objective about this can look at the bond package. It's an investment. Our community needs to have quality of life amenities and assets to keep our citizens here, to have the kind of community that we all want, to grow our local economy. And as Chuck said in a recent presentation at the chamber, ironically, whenever you sit down and get a diverse group of people to come together on one bond package, everybody's going to get up from the table at the end of the day and they're going to say, I'm not 100% happy with the package, but I'm happy enough with it that I can support it. And Bill, if we have time, let me just share 60 seconds, a quick story. I happen to have the good pleasure of being in a high-rise office building in downtown Dallas, Texas, several years ago in the office of the president of the Dallas Regional Chamber. He was telling me about Dallas's strategy, and I'm not drawing any conclusions or parallels to Tucson. Dallas's strategy was to recruit as many Fortune 500 headquarters to Dallas as they could. Whenever he said that whenever we lose the opportunity to bring in a Fortune 500 company headquarters, it's generally because the company says Dallas doesn't have enough arts and culture for our company. And so having heard that enough times, the chamber took action, worked with the city, worked with the local voters, and they bonded a new performing arts center, a new art gallery, a magnet school for the performing arts, all of which are in clear view from his high-rise office building. And that's the way that they're going to try to acquire more Fortune 500 headquarter companies.
And some would say those are just amenities. But you're saying it's very
important. They play a very significant role in quality of life. And mm-hmm. so when you look up and down the list of the seven bond options, you'll see things like economic development. We all know where that is. That's jobs, roads. We all need roads. Some of the other things in there are arts and culture. So we'll leave it up to the voter to decide which ones merit their support. But the whole package as a whole is designed to give us a better community, in my view.
What do you think about home goods coming to town?
I think it's great. Anytime you can recruit a company that's going to make that kind of a capital investment and hire that many people, you always, A, it's a positive. B, there's always the possibility that that becomes the seed for a cluster of similar businesses. We're trying to position Tucson as a transportation and logistics hub. You get a major distribution center in here, sends a message to the rest of the country that you might want to take a close look at Tucson.
All right. We are out of time. Mike Varney, thank you very much. Mr. Varney, I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, and same to you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Sarah Garrett-Gasson of The Star sticks around. We'll be joined by Dan Scheer. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. That's coming up on our Friday roundtable. But first, here's some bump music as we go back to the 60s and Jay and the Americans.
In a little cafe, just the other side of the border, she was sitting there giving me looks that made my mouth water.
It's spring cleaning time once again. This year, you can offer a fresh start to someone in your community and a fresh start for your stuff. Goodwill is accepting donations of clothes, electronics, and household items. The revenues from your gently used items will fund job training and community-based services to people here in Southern Arizona. So while you get yourself and your home off to a fresh start this spring, you'll be helping someone else nearby do the same. More information is available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com, published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
I can't believe we just saved $75,000 on our new dream home site. We discovered Rancho Soldados, the new custom home gated community with spectacular home sites located on Old Soldiers Trail. They're offering only 12 $75,000 discount lots, and we got one. Only six more are left. You have to see the custom homes already completed in Rancho Soldados to envision what's possible for your dream home.
On Tanque Verde East Old Soldiers Trail, 207-4188, represented by Long Realty.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Water, our most precious resource. Without it, living here in Tucson and the rest of the desert Southwest would not be possible. Where does our water come from? How can we use it more sustainably? At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we study the interplay of rain, climate, and landscape. Dive into the ways we use water this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2 and find us online at biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday on the Monday Political Face-Off, our team of commentators will be John Munger and Vince Robigo. They'll be squaring off, and then we'll talk with David Safir. David is the education blogger for the Tucson Weekly. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and of course anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts. And our complete show archive is at buckmastershow.com.
Come.
Okay, Jay and the Americans, our 60s bump music, Cara Mia Mai. That was one of the big hits from 1965. I hate to say this. Well, why not? The year I graduated from New Trier High School in Winnetka, Illinois. So I was getting ready to go to the prom and had on WLS Chicago and listening to Jay and the Americans. Dan Scheer joining us now. Dan, I was two. Yeah,
that year.
Both very, very young and don't remember hearing all of that. But I know Sarah likes 60s music.
I do indeed. I was not on the planet yet, but I do. And could I make some requests?
Please do.
Actually, I'd like to hear some Aretha Franklin.
Okay. And I know earlier during the break you were requesting
The Association.
And, of course, their big hit, Cherish. But yes. We did the Association, I think about 4 weeks ago. Sarah, I don't think you were with us, but we did do the Association. But that's and folks, if you want to hear a particular group, you can email us at bill@buckmastershow.com. So this is when I kind of go back to my brief time as a disc jockey, and
yes.
I can play some music.
And the Five Stair Steps, they went into the 70s, but they did Ooh Child, and they are fantastic.
They're on the iPod.
Yeah. Little Anthony and the Imperials might be a good one, too, Tom, to pull out. Dan, how are you?
Oh, doing very good. How about some Herman's Hermits?
That's on the list. We'll be doing Herman's Hermits. And who did the Mellow? Yeah, was that Donovan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mellow Yellow and all that. We talked with Mr. Varney about the Pima County bond proposal, $815 million. Dan Scheer, what's your thoughts here just on these seven items? Looking at it, I would say the roads should be pretty much a shoe-in.
I agree. The roads are going to be a shoe-in. We have several projects down in our area, a library, aquatic center, a park, things like that that I think are going to be good. I think the open space is going to be a tough sell down in our area, not because it's not important, but because everybody is keenly aware of the financial situation of the county, and they don't like it. Also, they don't like additional taxes. As we've said before on your show, the earning capacity down there is greatly diminished because most of them are retired. And then up in Sahuarita, we have a lot of young families. And again, we have everybody kind of grabbing for it. So I think my hope is that people will really take it question by question and will think about the overall county good for this. And we understand that these are important and good projects. The question is timing.
What do you think, Sarah?
Oh, I think the roads are kind of a no duh.
Yeah.
Well, they should be.
I agree.
But and I also think it was very smart to parcel them out into seven packages,
yeah.
Because if you had, it was the kind of thing where in the past you've seen jurisdictions do a big thing and then like one project kind of just kills the whole thing. The whole thing. And roads especially are far too important to let that happen.
Tourism is huge.
I've got the whole list in front of me, and I think this one is really important for our area. I don't think we spend enough money on tourism, so definitely that, and as far as I'm concerned, that's a yes. I know that there is. We had Allie Miller on the show yesterday, and she pointed out why should we, or I think she asked the question, why should we support the Arizona Desert Sonora Museum? They already get, I don't know, I get quite a bit of support. She just didn't see why we should be supporting them.
Well, it's one of those things that if you come to Tucson, you go to the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. Mm-hmm. I have a group of people that I'm working with who are coming into town in a couple weeks, and I'm making up a list of here's some highlights.
Yeah, some must-dos.
And absolutely. Yeah. And so I think tourism and things that are non-tangible are a lot harder to sell to the public because it's not, you build a road, you have a viaduct, you have a library. It's more of an indirect benefit. So I'm not surprised that, I won't be surprised if the tourism and doesn't pass.
And I hope the tourism does pass specifically because it's an economic driver and there is so much to offer. I've been down here now in southern Arizona for 6 years and I'm still discovering things down here that I never knew existed. And to send that message to Phoenix, we're an easy day trip and so much to do, it's just going to really help all of us. So why not use what we have already here? And yeah, they could use a little bit of help. So I hope that one sails through because of the economic aspect of it.
Because anytime you go, I mean, it is never not crowded, even in the summer.
Right. And I think that the parks definitely need some work. We've got all of our major parks here, Reed Park, Udall Park. I could see where folks would say yes to that because, again, that's something that they see. It's something they use.
I think with things like that, it comes down to geography. If you have a park, if you don't live by Udall Park, mm-hmm. Don't live by Udall Park. I hope the fine people who do live by Udall Park have a nice park and enjoy it, but it's not something that, and I'm not saying I wouldn't vote for it, but I'm just saying that's one of those geographical, you need to see the benefit of it for to get your vote, I think.
Right, and I think that we all need to, now that the supervisors are basically out of the question here, look at your own situation, look at the county situation, and is it really just the right time for it? This is an awful lot of money. I think you can go project by project and really defend most of them, not all of them. I think some of them are flat out silly. But the question is this really the timing for it? And we know that they delayed 9 years. They've been working on this for 9 years. They delayed because the economy was not back yet. My question is, what makes them think that it is now? Why now? Why not wait another year or two?
Well, I think with the roads, you can't wait.
I absolutely agree with you.
Gotten to the point, and I think they're probably hoping that the roads will mm-hmm. kind of carry the rest of it.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in about the bonds, we would be delighted to hear from you. Sarah, your colleague, Tim Steller, had an interesting column this morning about this kind of overlap with the city of Tucson with these charter questions. It's going to be very confusing for people. If I were the folks at the city, I would definitely wait till another year, maybe 2017 or something for this.
Yeah, it's bonds and charter changes and all the rest. It's too much. Very technical, very wonky, difficult.
And then you get the mail-in ballot thing, as Tim pointed out, that people are going to be confused. They may put both ballots in one envelope.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
We did that in Green Valley, I think, just about 6 months ago. So, yeah, or the wrong envelopes. Yeah, it does happen. I mean, I would hope that the more engaged people, obviously, are not going to have a problem with that. But, yeah, probably an issue.
Although, if we're talking about, I mean, if the reason to do it is that people aren't up to figuring it out, that doesn't really say a whole lot about our confidence in voters. I think part of it is
I don't have confidence in the voters. Flat out, just don't. Really, I don't.
I think anytime you get a big jumbly ballot, it turns people off, and people are like, and just
yeah. If they're confused, they usually vote no.
Yeah,
that's
yep.
right.
That's or they don't vote.
Good
yeah.
point.
Who's up first? David, we've got a couple of callers who want to join in on our Friday roundtable. David wants to talk about the roads. Quickly, David, please.
Yes. First of all, they've spent a massive amount of money on roads serving new development like Dove Mountain and Oral Valley. But the thing is, it's the feud between the county and the state. The county, they take money that was intended for the roads and used for soccer fields or something else, and the state retaliates by taking more and more of our taking more and more of our tax dollars.
Okay. Thank you, David. Good point.
Yeah, I think the connection with the budget and the county, the state budget and the county taxes and the county budget and how our budgets are stretched because of what the state does is an important point.
And our friend Noah has just weighed in at bill@buckmastershow.com. I think you know Noah. I think he lives in Sahuarita.
He sure does.
And his headline to me, roads, if they're so important, why weren't they even considered until the midnight hour?
Okay. Well, I think everybody was asking that question, and was it thrown in there, to make sure that this thing gets through? If that was the case, then why do they divide it up into seven questions? Mm-hmm. And we'll see if people actually will go question by question. To me, if you split on any of these, I'll be amazed, because that means people were really thinking it through.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the roads Chuck Huckleberry, the county administrator, for a long time has been saying, we need a gas tax. Legislature needs to act. They're taking our money, our HERF money. And I think it just got to the point where any resolution of that from the state is just not going to happen. And I also think you need something for a bond. You need something juicy to get people out the door.
You got to have a hook.
Yeah.
Tom, I know you're on the phone with a caller, but let's go to John next, and then CJ will be next. Go ahead, John.
I have two quick things. One is, because I hear this thing about the HERF money being taken away, and that is explaining why our county and city roads are so bad. Yet I drive in every other county of the state, and their roads aren't that bad. And so if the state's taking HERF money from everybody, why is it that our roads are so bad? And then so coupled with that is my question. It seems like the county has not been handling the money they do get well related to roads. What makes us, or what am I going to be able to believe that if we give them a large amount of money, it'll be managed properly, magically, all of a sudden?
Okay.
I think there's a couple answers to that. First is that we have a lot more county roads here than most counties do, because a lot more of them are incorporated, and so the municipalities are taking care of those. And the last thing I would do is defend the county on how it spent past bond money, but I do believe that we have an extra burden there.
And part of it also is over time, there hasn't been the investment in maintenance of road upkeep as some other places have done.
Let's see who is next. Charles, quickly, please.
Dan, I want to contest your notion that open space within the city is important. If you drive outside the city or into the county, you'll notice we live in a desert. There's lots of open space. If you want open space, go buy a convertible and drive into it. Do not waste a cent, not one cent, of city, county, or state money on buying so-called, in quotes, open space.
I would agree with you. That's what I said.
I thought you were saying we should.
No, yeah. The open space is not going to fly in Green Valley. I don't see anybody banging down the doors to build a factory in Tucson, much less in the middle of a desert. I think we've preserved enough. I think it's very important, but I don't think that now is the time. It's not going to fly down in Green Valley. I would agree with you.
The only thing we should preserve is the politics of Mr. Huckleberry in formaldehyde. Not him, his politics.
Well, thank you, Charles. Charles Heller, always very outspoken. You can hear more of Charles on Sunday here on this very radio station. Ingrid, I'm going to have to make this really quick. Give me 10 seconds what your comment is.
Yes, I think some of the reason that our roads are not in very good condition is the employees do not understand what they're supposed to do. Some of them don't speak English. I've seen this for myself, and they may not be doing things right.
So Ingrid feels that they need more supervision, I would assume. But anyway, Dan, you took a tour of the Green Valley Hospital.
Yeah, I was there for about 3 hours yesterday, and it should open up mid to late May. They don't have a specific date yet. They have to still go through some certification and stuff. It is going to be 50 beds when it's all up and running, and it is absolutely incredible, not just for Green Valley, but for Southern Arizona. It's quite an operation.
And while I'm on vacation, you'll be guest hosting on a couple of days, and one of the guests will be
David Wanger, who is the CEO of the hospital. He's looking forward to coming on. We've had him before, and he'll at that point have lots of news, I'm sure, about an opening.
Sarah, we brought up the, is it the Barry Blechman study about
yes.
Davis Mountain Air Force Base? Very interesting. And basically, we've heard this before. You got to expand the mission because eventually the A-10 is going to go away.
Right. And the upshot of the study is that you need to diversify, and the Tucson community should be pushing and advocating to not just replace one set of planes with another set of planes, because that puts, with the way the Air Force, the trends are, with fewer planes and more bases fighting over them, that the more strategic long-term way to go is to advocate what they call a central operations base, which would be
less of a flying mission, basically.
Yes, still flying, of course, but not all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that the city did. There is, with Mike Varney, we were talking about the Southern Arizona Defense Alliance. So the DM50, which is a support group of civilians and retired military advocating for the base, the city and the county are going in on a request for proposal. They're looking to hire a lobbyist and to take a look at what can we do, what is the best course. And I'm really curious to see how that's going to pan out compared to what the city has already found in its study. And they have, I want to be clear, they have not signed on board saying this is the route we want to take. They're just trying to get some information.
And for those who always say that Tucson gets no good publicity, it's a horrible place to live. We hear those people, the naysayers that say it's a horrible place to live. Check out a report in Government Executive about Tucson, Arizona. Government Executive is a kind of a wing of the Atlantic Monthly, and this is like a 30-page story. You can get it online, but it's a pretty glowing report about Tucson, Arizona.
It sure is, and Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, and just sort of, it's interesting, I think, we get pretty mired in and getting down on ourselves and what's wrong. And so it's interesting, even if you don't agree with it or you think
a look at the report.
Yeah, to see from another perspective.
Yeah. Okay, Dan and Sarah, thank you very much. I hope you both have a great weekend.
Thanks.
And when you're hosting this program in a couple of weeks, this Friday program, you will have a very big decision to make with Tom Fairbanks. and hopefully you'll let Tom know the morning of what your 60s music will be.
So absolutely.
You're going to have to go into the archives since you were only 2 years old that don't remember.
I'm going to guess, and it's going to be the new Christy Minstrels.
Amen.
All right. Thank you very much. We've got Weekend Watch next.
Wonder where, wondering where she is bound. I broke her heart.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Hi, this is Bert Williams with Williams & Associates. We are Arizona's largest promotional products company. Anything you put a logo on, that's us. But this isn't about me. This is about Arizona Party Rental and the team they have that makes things happen. They have everything you would ever need for a party or any event. Tents, chairs, tables, and the expertise to advise you with what you need in a timely manner. When I think of Arizona Party Rental, I think of integrity and I think of community involvement. We've used Arizona Party Rental many times. They are on time, efficient, and are a great value. I love working with Ken and his team at Arizona Party Rental. Ken can stack BBs at a 45-degree angle with gloves on.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bert. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental. Visit us online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where over the Memorial Day weekend, it's going to be Taj Mahal headlining the 20th annual Silver City Blues and Bike Festival. It's going to be a great occasion. It's all free. How do you beat that? 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. Has the full listing of great places to stay like Georgetown, Cabins, and Gila Hot Springs Ranch, and the many things to do in Silver City. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, the food and beverage reporter, columnist for Inside Tucson Business, and award-winning Tucson publicist, who is always ready on Friday afternoon, counting down to when he can get to a happy hour.
Indeed, Bill. It's nice to be back on the show. And, you know, when we think about all the excitement downtown these days, it's appropriate to acknowledge the small handful of restaurateurs who said yes to the promise of downtown in the early days before the boom. And for that reason, my happy hour pick today is 47 Scott, located at 47 North Scott Avenue. Great beer and wine selections, Bill, but I think cocktails are king here, like the Vagabond with tequila, sage-infused agave nectar, fresh lime, and orange bitters. Now, I'm heading there myself right after work, so start your weekend with me for half-off drinks from 4 to 6 p.m. at 47 Scott.
Something tells me you'll be leaving Russell Communications a little bit early this afternoon.
What makes you think I'm not on my way now,
yeah,
Bill?
Yeah, very much so, very much so. One of your favorite places in town is St. Philip's Plaza.
Yeah, and for those of you that like a taste of the Big Easy, NOLA Nights begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow in St. Philip's Plaza. And at this vibrant New Orleans-style street party, you'll enjoy lively music and street performances and savor southern cocktails and culinary treats prepared by some of Tucson's top chefs and mixologists. Now, I've got a tough job tomorrow, Bill, as I'll be one of the judges for the evening's food competition, and a warning to the event staff, I'm coming hungry.
Yeah, you,
It's Bourbon Street right here in the old Pueblo at Nola Night tomorrow at St. Philip's Plaza.
Make sure you wear your bead necklace over there to the event. It should be fun. You'll feel right just on. Like at home in the Crescent City. Any new brunches we need to know about this for this Sunday?
Yeah, another restaurant has jumped on the brunch bandwagon with Reforma's first Sunday brunch launching this weekend. Located on the southeast corner of River and Campbell, Reforma is going to offer a central Mexico take on breakfast favorites like horchata French toast and chilaquiles rojos, which I'll take with a side of their duck fat potatoes, please. Thoughtful cocktails are going to be mixed up to wash it all down, so I say give Reforma a try for brunch this Sunday.
What do I look for in the column this week?
Yeah, Bill, there was a time when granola was eaten only by naturopaths and Yule Gibbons devotees, but believe it or not, it's legitimately trending these days all over Tucson, and I sat down with two local chefs to find out when granola became so hip, and you can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Good one, Matt. Have a good one.
See you, Bill. Thanks.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of the team here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Harry Alexander, our friend Rosemary Brandt, who is my executive assistant, we wish you a wonderful and a very safe weekend. Back with you Monday at 12:04.